time to unleash your inner cowboy with the Earn Your Spurs podcast. Now, here's your host, Alyssa Barnes.
Hey everyone, I hope you're having a great day. Welcome to episode number 22 of the Earn Your Spurs podcast. I am your host, Alyssa Barnes. Now I'm doing something a little different with the show today. Normally, I always have a guest on that I interview about various different topics related to the Western lifestyle. Today, I'm going to be doing a solo show with just me. The reason I decided to do this solo show is because I want to talk about what I believe is the number one thing that holds people back from getting involved in different Western activities, whatever they may be. Whether it's wanting to get started riding horses or get back into riding horses after being off for a long stretch, if you want to get involved in rodeo, start barrel racing, if your kids want to get into riding bulls, whatever the case may be, I believe there's one thing that typically holds people back from actually following after those dreams. And it's the one thing that pretty much holds us back from most of the things that we want to do but don't do. And that's fear. I know that it can be really intimidating to get started doing something new, especially when you feel like an outsider and you feel like you don't fit in. And it doesn't make it any easier when certain people can be unwelcoming. You know, not everyone is going to welcome you with open arms when you are first starting out. Some people have this mindset of seeing people prove themselves before they're going to give them their respect. And that can be really hard for a newcomer that wants to get started doing anything, even if you want to just take some riding lessons in your local area. And you know there's several barns where you could go take a riding lesson, but it's scary, right? Like, you don't know the level of the other people that are going to be there. You don't know how advanced they are. You don't know if you're going to go there and feel like an idiot because you don't know anything. And you don't know how welcoming the people are going to be. I mean, that's scary. That's a scary thing to overcome. And I talked to Christy Schulte on the last episode of the Earn Your Spurs podcast about the Time to Ride program that they started a couple of years ago to get more newcomers involved with horses. And I just think it's such a great program because it not only offers so many people the opportunity to get started with horses that have never been around them before, it is designed especially for newcomers. It's designed for people that don't know anything. So it's far less intimidating for somebody that doesn't know anything to go to an event that they know is specifically held for them rather than just calling a random barn that they find on the internet and scheduling a riding lesson. I mean, to some people, that feels like going in blind and it can be really, really scary, especially if you don't know anybody that goes there already. And I mean, I know it's a scary thing. And I just want to read something that Fallon Taylor actually posted on her Facebook page a few months ago. If you don't know who Fallon Taylor is, she just won the world championship barrel racing title in December at the National Finals Rodeo. And she's been an inspiration for a lot of people, especially newcomers and especially barrel racers who are just getting started or maybe have been doing it for a while but aren't at a super advanced level. So this is Fallon's post. It reads, "I got so many compliments over the weekend for posting and being proud of my 2D buckle I won." Now, just as an aside to those of you who aren't familiar with barrel racing, most barrel races are organized in a 4D format, which means there are several divisions. And even if you don't have like one of the fastest runs at the barrel race, you can still place in one of the lower divisions. So Fallon is a 1D barrel racer. I mean, she just won the world championship, but she was proud of her 2D buckle, which was a half a second off the fastest time in the 1D. It says, "I got so many compliments over the weekend for posting and being proud of my 2D buckle that I won. I was disheartened a little. It dawned on me that we have belittled each other's accomplishments through gossip and armchair quarterbacking, that now a 2D buckle isn't a big deal. I'm on a mission to help raise the bar for rodeo. When you see someone at a race that has the uncool saddle and tack doing all the wrong things and clocking in the 5D, share your knowledge, yell for him or her, because once upon a time, that was us. For me, that time came after the end of a bad relationship and a nearly fatal accident that left me with uncool tack and scared to death to let my horse out of a high lope. I think as we have now evolved into a glamorous world of semis, huge trailers, and even bigger price tags on horses, we've forgotten that we are all able to empower each other. So this is just a friendly reminder that when you see a girl in the 5D pulling her one horse trailer behind the truck she can afford, she may be the girl you critique at the NFR in years to come in her big rig that she earned and all the buckles she can hold. My friend Karen is a glowing example. If you hear someone yelling for you and you know you aren't anywhere near the leaderboard, it's my friend Karen encouraging you from the stands. She taught me a lesson this week. So if you catch yourself belittling someone's accomplishments because of where they got their horse, what they drive, or how goofy they look when they ride, be careful. She may be the woman on the rise. Give her a hand and some advice instead. And someone that's more accomplished than you may return the favor too. Bullying amongst our sport is alive. Let's stomp it out. Now, Fallon got over 600 comments on that post from people who could relate to it because they are struggling. They are placing in the 4 or 5D, or maybe they're not placing at all, and maybe they show up to the barrel race in an old beat-up trailer with the uncool clothes and the uncool tack, like Fallon says. That can be a really scary place for people, especially when they kind of know that they're being whispered about. You know, they can tell when they ride into the arena and people in the stands are talking about them under their breath. And it's something in our sport and in our culture that I'm not really super proud of, but it does happen. And I'm not perfect. I've done it too. I've judged people. I mean, we all do. It's human nature to do that, but that doesn't make it right. Now, the other thing that Fallon did was at the national finals, she wore a helmet in almost every single round. And that is just unprecedented for a barrel racer at her level to do. And the reason she did it was to raise awareness that helmets can be cool. I mean, so many people who are just getting into riding don't want to protect themselves because it's not cool, because it's not cowboy to wear a helmet rather than a cowboy hat. Now, I will admit, I have never worn a helmet. I've always worn a cowboy hat. That is the culture I was raised in. I'm not saying it's right, but that's, you know, the traditions that we followed in my family. But I really respect Fallon for doing that. You know, she did not care what anybody said about her. She just went out there and did something to raise the bar for rodeo, like she said in that Facebook post. She made people feel like it was okay to wear a helmet to protect themselves. It's okay. It's still cool because you know what? The world champion barrel racer did it, so it must be okay. And that's awesome. She's using her position and her platform as somebody that other barrel racers and other rodeo people and other Western people in general look up to better the sport, to welcome newcomers into the fold. And that's what I want to do here as well. Being an outsider can be really scary when you show up somewhere to take a riding lesson and you don't know anything. You don't know the names of the tack. You don't know how to put it on. You don't have a clue. You're just green as grass. And you know what? Everybody starts there. Some people maybe start a little earlier, but everyone starts in the same place. And it's unfortunate that some of us, as we get more advanced with our riding or with our roping or bull riding or whatever it is that you do, it's a shame that sometimes as we get more advanced, we forget where we came from. We forget that we were once a beginner too and didn't know anything either. And I think it's so important to remember that and help new people, like Fallon said, and welcome them into the fold. Because the truth is, we have all of these Western traditions that we are pretty proud of in this Western world. And we sometimes hold those traditions a little too tightly. And what happens is we get old and die, and nobody else carries on the traditions because we haven't shared them with other people, simply because they didn't have the right hat, or, you know, they hadn't earned your respect yet, and so you just wrote them off. I don't think that's right. I think we need to reach out to newcomers and welcome them into the sport of rodeo, welcome them into the Western lifestyle, give them a chance to learn just like we did. I mean, some of us had it so easy because we grew up on a ranch, or we grew up with a horse trainer for a dad that helped us every single day get better with our riding. I mean, I admit, in that respect, I had it pretty darn good growing up. And I know not everybody has that. I know that I don't have that now that I don't live near my dad anymore. I have to do things on my own, and man, it's a lot harder. So I get it. I get what so many of you are going through, and I just want to make it easier. I want to make you feel like you can accomplish anything, because you truly can. So I've got a confession to make, and hopefully it'll make it a little bit easier for you when you feel like you're an outsider and you feel like other people are talking about you. None of us are good at everything. None of us. It doesn't matter if you grew up on a ranch. It doesn't matter if you grew up rodeoing and you've made the NFR, or you're a world champion, or you are a cutting horse futurity winner, or whatever. It doesn't matter how much you've achieved in the Western world. You are not good at everything. I am not good at everything. So I'm going to tell you a little story about me, because I know what it feels like to be an outsider. I grew up riding horses almost every day. I mean, I was very fortunate to have that. I was very fortunate to spend the summers with my dad and spend after school with my dad and riding colts and showing cutting horses and all of that. I started showing when I was 10 years old, and I had a lot of success. You know, I won buckles, and I think I might have won my first one when I was 10. I can't remember now, but I had a very good teacher who I lived in the same house with that was there to teach me every single day. He always made sure I had good horses to ride. I will say, we did not have the fanciest tack. We did not have the fanciest truck or trailer. I did not have a nice truck for even like until I graduated from college. I had the worst truck, but my dad always made it a point that he is the most unmaterialistic person ever. That stuff just does not matter to him at all. And, you know, whenever we kind of were feeling like, and when I say we, I mean my brother and I, but it was probably mostly me, like we didn't have the nicest stuff or whatever, my dad would say, it doesn't matter what kind of a rig you show up in. It matters what kind of a horse you pull out of the trailer and what you do when you get there. And the fact of the matter was, we had kind of a old beat up trailer, and you know, like I had hand-me-down tack from my dad. I've never had a new saddle my whole life, except for when I've won one. I mean, I've never actually gone out and bought a new saddle. My dad's never gone out and bought a new saddle for me or anything like that. So, you know, he tried to drill that point home, that those things were not important. And when you're a kid, or when you're a teenager, I should say, sometimes you think they are, because your friends have this or that or the other thing. And, but now I realize that my dad was right. And when I got into high school, I started high school rodeoing. And my first 2 years of high school, I just cut. I had my cutting horse that I'd been showing already, but, you know, just at cuttings before I got into high school. And then I just really wanted to get involved in the whole high school rodeo thing, because it seemed like a lot of fun, and it was. So my first 2 years, I just did the cutting. And then my brother, who's 2 years younger than me, started high school rodeoing, and he'd been roping for several years, and he'd gotten really good because he'd been practicing a lot. And I just, for whatever reason, I didn't want to rope. And now I think I know the reason I didn't want to is because it was hard. It was something new that I had to learn, it was difficult and there were growing pains and I already knew how to cut. I could win at that. And I did. Roping was just a whole new dimension that I had to conquer. And honestly, I was pretty comfortable in the situation I was already in. I already could go beat everyone at the cutting. But when I started roping, that was like having to start all over from the ground up, because even though I knew how to ride a horse and I knew how to swing a rope a little bit, I was a beginner. I was starting fresh. I was the newbie, you know, and there were all these other girls that I was competing against, because I started competing in the breakaway roping. And there were all these other girls who grew up on ranches, who roped in the branding pen from the day they were old enough to swing a rope, and they were really good, and I was completely intimidated by them. I sort of felt like people thought, oh, here's this cutter girl that's going to start roping. And, you know, I had that feeling too, like they were judging me, like, you know, I was never going to be good enough to compete with those girls. And my brother never had that problem because he started, you know, he got started a little earlier than me and he really cared about it so much. And he really wanted to be good at roping. And that was something that he really worked hard at it. And it paid off. You know, he had a lot of accomplishments in high school. He went to the national high school finals in the team roping and the cutting. And I think the calf roping his senior year too. But, and he also won the all around at the national high school finals by placing in the team roping as well as winning the cutting. Well, I never had that level of success with my roping. And the only reason why is because I sabotaged any chance that I had at winning in my own mind. I had already beat myself before I backed my horse into the box because I had this idea in my head that I just was never going to be good enough. I was never going to be able to beat these girls. And then even after high school, when I went to college and I couldn't cut anymore because they don't have it in college rodeo, the only event I had was breakaway roping. I didn't have a barrel horse till my senior year. And I wanted it so badly by then. You know, it was the only thing I had to focus on and I wanted it. And I practiced really hard. And you know what? I got to where I roped pretty darn good. But I think that there was always that little inkling feeling in the back of my mind that I wasn't good enough. And so I never had the level of success that I should have had for how much work I put into it. That little inkling of doubt that most of the time I didn't even really realize it was there. It just really hurt my chances of having success in that event. So that was a tough lesson learned for me. And I don't think I learned it until probably not that long ago. You know, I realized how much my attitude sabotaged me when I was in college because I just didn't have that belief in myself. So I want you to remember, if you're ever in a situation where you feel like somebody is judging you or talking about you or whispering about you to their little crony friends, I guarantee you that that person has something that they're not good at. You know, even if they're an accomplished equestrian of some sort, whatever they may do, there's something that they're not good at, because the whole Western lifestyle is very broad. I mean, I've touched on it a little bit in past episodes and on the blog about all the different subcultures and how there's ranch cowboys and rodeo cowboys and horsemen and buckaroos. And they're all, I mean, not to be so general, but each of those subcategories has their strengths. And so even if somebody is really good, even if you can look at someone and say, oh man, they have made it, they are a real cowboy, chances are there's something that they're not good at. There's something that scares them. There's something that intimidates them. I mean, maybe there's a world champion team roper out there that would never climb on a bull because they think it's ludicrous and they would be scared to death. And maybe there's someone like me who grew up and was very accomplished at showing cutting horses and developed my horsemanship skill to a fairly advanced level. And I get so nervous about team roping somewhere just going to a team roping practice because I honestly haven't done it very much. I was more of a breakaway roper. And so I have a great head horse that my brother kind of finished, and I could take him and rope on him. And it kind of freaks me out because I know that wherever I go to practice, there's going to be people that are better than me. And I feel like they have certain expectations of me because I have accomplished other things, that I'm going to be good at everything I do, and I'm not. That's a lot of pressure to put on someone. And honestly, I'm probably better than I think I am, but I just, again, have that mental roadblock that makes me intimidated. And the same thing happens when I go to somebody's branding, because everybody seems to have different rules on how they process cattle. And, you know, I want to make sure that I'm respectful of that and don't do anything that they wouldn't want me to do. But sometimes you just don't know going in. And I am just like, I'm scared to death to screw up, just like you newcomers are. But that is how we learn. And it is so important to push ourselves through those uncomfortable situations, because if we do, we end up gaining so much from the experience. So my overall message for you guys today, because I know where some of you are coming from, I've conversed with some of you. I know that for many of you, it's just a matter of getting started or getting back into riding. It's taking that first step of maybe going to take a riding lesson, getting back in the saddle, and seeing where that leads. And I just want to encourage you to do it. I know it's scary. I know it's intimidating. I know it feels like a really big thing, especially if you've had something happen that was maybe traumatic or fearful for you with horses in the past. But you just, if it's something that you really care about, you just have to go do it. You can. I mean, you can accomplish whatever you want. So please be brave. You can do this. You totally can. Now, the other thing I want you to remember is when you're at some of these riding stables, or, you know, if you're just getting started and competing or whatever, don't measure yourself against the other people there. And I know that it's a hard thing not to do sometimes, but this is what I want you to remember. Even if you see somebody that is just so good and you're completely intimidated by them, first of all, you need to see what you can learn from that person, because there's likely a lot of wisdom they can impart. And some people are so amazing and so helpful. And I don't want to sound like there's just all these mean people that are going to bully you when you get started. That's not true. I mean, they are totally the exception and not the rule. But I know how it is. You can have 50 people encouraging you and telling you how great you're doing and teaching you and pushing you. And then there's like one or two people that are negative Nellies. And those are the people that you will listen to more than the ones that are just, you know, telling you you're a rock star. I know that. Like, we listen to the negative things way more than we listen to the positive, and that is why I am focusing on it. But believe me, I don't want to scare you away and make you think that everybody you're going to come into contact with is just going to be mean, because that's not the truth. But it does happen. And what I want you to remember is, even if those people that you feel like are whispering behind your back are really, really good at whatever it is they do, and you want to be as good as them, and, you know, you sort of look up to them at the same time of like hating their guts because they're mean to you, there's things they're not good at too. And you know what? There's things that you are awesome at that they are not good at. And you just remember that. Like, just because they can go, taking it back to barrel racing, because that's how I started the show, just because they've got an awesome horse and fancy truck and trailer and they can go out there and run 1D times on their $50,000 barrel horse, that doesn't mean that they're good at roping or that they're an accomplished horse trainer or anything like that. I mean, there's plenty of things those people are good at, and there's plenty of things that you are good at that they're not. And so you just have to remember that. Don't let somebody's opinion of you influence how you respond and how you go after your goals. Don't listen to somebody else's opinion of you. It's none of your business. I created Earn Your Spurs to push you and encourage you to go after your dreams. So just know, even if you don't feel like you have anyone else in your corner, I am in your corner and I want you to succeed. So whatever I can do to help, you just let me know. Shoot me an email. It's alyssa@earnyourspurs.com. A-L-Y-S-S-A. Go to earnyourspurs.com. Send me your questions for Cowboy Q&A. Find me on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest. I have a Facebook group called Earn Your Spurs Cowboy Q&A. And my vision for that group is just to have a really non-threatening place to chat about your challenges or your goals or what you want to accomplish with other people that will be encouraging and helpful. And of course, me, I'll be there encouraging and helping you as well. I really want to create an active dialogue in that group. So please request to join the group if you're interested. And if there's anything at all I can do to help make your dreams a reality, let me know. I mean, reach out to me. I love hearing from you guys, and I'm working on something right now that I think is going to be really beneficial to those of you who want to get started and just don't know where to go. So I can't really expand on it too much more right now, but it's coming and I think it's going to be awesome. So before we wrap up today, I just want to leave you with this quote from Jack Canfield. It says, "Everything you want is on the other side of fear." And we just have to remember that. Starting new things is scary. And especially when those things involve animals that are big and can hurt you, I understand the fear and the fear of not fitting in. It's all, the fear is real, but you have the power to squash it down and overcome it and just go after your dreams. Have a fabulous day, and I'll see you next week.
For listening to the Earn Your Spurs podcast. Until next time, happy trails and spur on.